Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
So if you haven't been here for the last few weeks, we've been doing a series called The Science Behind. And the first week, we did the science behind the stillness, trying to understand what is the stillness and how do I get into it. And the reason why we're doing the science behind concept is that, you know, we hear these words all the time, but the idea is how do I practice them? How do I get into the consciousness of faith and love and grace and things of those nature? And you heard that this morning we talked about grace was a daily word, which leads into this one, which is the science behind grace. So we did the science behind stillness, the science behind awakening. And the whole idea of awakening is that, you know, we were made in the image and likeness of God. So we are spiritual beings expressing in a human expression. But, you know, we can't grasp that idea. And, you know, and Jesus said to us, you know, ye are gods, sons and daughters of the Most High. But we really can't grasp that, the full dynamics of that idea. So that's why we're working with this idea called the science behind, so we can try to understand how do we move ourselves into that consciousness that can think at a higher level. So again, today we're going to do the science behind grace. And I'm going to start off with a reading from the Gnostic writings of the Apocryphon of Jesus. The word Apocryphon means secret teachings. So these are from the secret teachings of Jesus. And typically when you think of Gnostic writings, a lot of times those are writings that didn't make it into the Bible because they were from the Gnostic mindset. But anyway, we read that Jesus, the teacher of enlightenment, said, "Hearken to the word, understand knowledge, love life, and no one will persecute you, nor will anyone oppress you other than you yourself." So let me say it again. Hearken to the word, understand knowledge, love life, and no one will persecute you, nor will anyone oppress you other than you yourself. Okay? So when Jesus said, hearken to the word hearken means to listen attentively. And he says, if you do that, if you truly pay attention to the word, we will not experience persecution or oppression. So hearken to the word, meaning listen attentively. And we're going to get into what that really means. But it's always being aware of that indwelling divine presence in you, always guiding you along your way, no matter what it might be. Okay, so hearken to the word, and we will not experience persecution or oppression. Now, this doesn't mean that we won't have experiences where people or circumstances in our lives tempt to weigh us down. What Jesus is saying is if we stay focused on the word, we will not succumb to the outer forces that attempt to knock us off our spiritual center. You get it? So it's not that stuff is not going to happen. But if you're always listening for the word, and I'll explain more what that means, but if you're always listening for the word, when that stuff happens, it will not allow you to knock you off your spiritual center, okay? And the word that Jesus is referring to, if you look in the book, The Revealing Word, it is the agency by which God reveals God's self to us in some measure. So hearken to the word, listen to the word. What you're listening to is the agency by which God expresses God's self to you in some measure. So when you say, oh, God, what am I going to do? And that's our favorite expression. Oh, God, what am I going to do now? Well, God is telling you what to do now. But you have to hearken to the word. You have to listen to that. As opposed to, and I'm going to say this combination quite a bit through this, as opposed to listening to ego drama. Okay? So Charles Fillmore says that there are different levels to which God will reveal God's self. And those of a higher consciousness will experience a greater degree of awareness with communion with God. Now, this is not saying that God gives more to some than others. What it's saying is that those folks who have allowed themselves to move to a higher state of consciousness will be able to receive more of God's word. Now, God is always giving God's word fully to everybody. But if you're operating in a low state of consciousness, you can't comprehend it. And if we go back to Dr. David Hawkins' book, Power Versus Force, where he has documented levels of consciousness from very low of guilt and shame and blame and anger and, you know, jealousy and frustration. Those are low levels of consciousness. So if God is, when God is speaking to you, God is giving you that intuitive knowledge that you need to move through something, you can't hear it when you're operating at those low levels. Is everybody following me? All right? And so if you want to really receive from God at higher levels, you have to allow yourself to move out of those lower levels of consciousness. Did that make sense on a, okay. All right. So God is constantly giving all of God's self equally to everyone. However, those who have done the work to evolve to higher levels of consciousness, okay, done the work. And the very definition of the word consciousness means that you have a higher awareness of the presence of God within you. Is that okay? So in conjunction with this, Jesus said, if you hearken to the word, no one can oppress you other than you yourself. And that's the main focus of all of our study, that being to do the prayer work necessary, the meditation work, the contemplation work, to stop persecuting and oppressing ourselves with seemingly relentless ego drama. Who has ego drama? And you know what I'm talking about, right? Your mind is always going through some dynamic, okay, that's keeping you at those lower levels of consciousness, okay? Now, granted, up to this point in our lives, before we started seriously studying truth, we didn't realize that the ego drama we were constantly involved in had such a tremendous detrimental effect on our spiritual development. You know, we come to church, you read your Bible, you listen, you read your daily word, you pray, you meditate, you do all of those things, which are all good, but if you're still involved in that ego drama, it's like whitewashing all of that work you're doing. Is that making sense? Okay, so the key that we want, you know, because every, and the key is because everyone is involved in ego drama, we thought it was just the natural way to be in the world. You get together, what else you got to talk about? You know what I'm saying? We just thought that was how you're supposed to be in the world. But now we're beginning to understand that when you're caught up in your own ego drama and that of others, it is difficult to evolve spiritually. It's difficult to hearken to the word because you are caught up in the world. All right. So Jesus' mission was to wake us up to the truth about ourselves. Again, remember, you heard me say this 1,000 times. The first Adam put us to sleep. And the second Adam, Jesus, came to wake us up. Wake us up to the realization that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. So the truth, he gave us the truth that would set us free from the constant struggle and worry about what we're experiencing in our lives. And he wanted to set us free from this role of being a victim to the drama that's always going on in our head. You know, and that's basically what happens to us. You know, you heard me talk about this watch I used to wear when I used to run, and it would give you what your heartbeat was. And I consciously, I knew what the watch was doing, and I was having this drama going on in my head and watching the watch, and my heartbeat was going up. And so I consciously changed the image in my mind to something more cheerful and loving, and I watched the heartbeat go down on the watch. So we're always caught up in this process. Sometimes somebody will say to you, what are you thinking about? And you kind of go, oh, you find yourself, you get drifted off into an ego drama, to a whole scene in your head about something. That's, am I right? Or is it just me? Maybe it's just me. Okay. All right. So the truth Jesus was referring to when he said, you know, to help us become free of this process we go through, and he talks about it in John 8:32. He said, the truth will set you free. That's actually called revealed truth. So the truth that will set you free is revealed truth, that kind that comes directly from a real connection with your indwelling Christ spirit. So revealed truth is, you know, something is happening in your life, but if you're open to, you know, that hearken to the word, if you're open to that, you will hear what's really going on. Did you just catch what I said? Okay. Because we will designate, say, oh, that's because. And it's typically not because. It's something that's going on inside of us that we need to make some kind of change to. And we're going to talk about that, okay? And Deepak Chopra says, the truth you hear is the revealed truth is the truth you hear when you're eavesdropping on the mind of God. Revealed truth is when you're eavesdropping on the mind of God. So remember, when it comes to spiritual things, it is not what you know because you read it, heard it, or saw it. We often hear people rave about, oh, you need to read this book I just read. Oh, it's really, you know, it's really spiritual. Or you need to listen to this spiritual concept I just heard. But the question is, did you allow that to somehow change you? Okay? Because if you didn't allow that spiritual ideal you just witnessed to somehow change you, it was just entertainment. And I think it's one of those greatest, that's one of our greatest obstacles to overcome, is that all we really want to be is entertained, and we don't really want to be changed. Did everybody just hear what I said? Okay? Now, the spiritual path is experiential. It means you must be willing to live and actually experience the spiritual ideals that you learn or hear so deeply that they change you at the core of your being. Otherwise, it is just entertainment. Okay? Our ego loves to be entertained and loves to talk about how entertained it was by a book or a lecture or a seminar or a workshop. But the question we must always ask ourselves is, what am I going to do with what I just learned or heard? How am I going to allow this information to change me, heal me of the drama that's constantly going on in my mind, in my body, in my emotions, in my state of being? So that's the reason for, that's really the science behind. The reason for study of spiritual ideas is so that it will change you at the core of your being. Not just to learn it so you can go and tell other people what you learned. Actually, they should see it or detect it in the change that you are going through. Does that make any sense? Okay. And if we do not allow ourselves to make some significant progress from the time we spend being exposed to spiritual ideals, we will not evolve to the point where we can understand what Jesus was trying to teach us. Because remember, I think it was last week we were saying that Jesus spoke in the language of the kingdom of heaven. Just like for those who didn't hear that lecture, it was sometimes you're speaking to a computer expert or somebody else who's in, you know, they're talking in a language and you kind of go, could you say that in English? You know, but they're speaking in the language of their expertise, okay? Well, Jesus spoke in the language of the kingdom of heaven. And you won't be able to understand the language of the kingdom of heaven unless you evolve to the level of consciousness that he was speaking from. So when he says something like in Matthew 5:43, you've heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, with all of the intellectual prowess that we have, statements like that still seem to be mostly abstract and impractical. You get it? All right? But we hear it, but in our present state of mind, it is difficult to understand how to live it. Now, Jesus spoke about this in Matthew 13:14 when he said, with them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, you shall indeed hear the word of God, but never understand it. So if we go back to the first sentence, hearken to the word, we are all always hearing the word. We would call it intuition, okay? We're always getting that intuition. But if we're not listening to it, we're not getting the benefit of it. Or if we are not keeping ourselves in a state of consciousness that can hear it and understand it, we're not getting the benefit of it. Or if we're not at a level where we can hear it, understand it, and have the courage to try it, we're not getting the benefit of it because it's experiential. Does that make sense? Okay. When you hear it, you have to have the courage and the faith to step forward and work with it. Okay. Now, to be fair to us, it's possible that when we are exposed to spiritual ideas, we do try to apply them to our life experience, right? We hear these ideas, we try to apply them, okay? And, you know, actually, for a while, we do okay with them. But then something happens, and it corrupts the process, and we revert right back to our old fearful way of doing things. I'm looking for head shakes, see if, because this just might be me. right? This just might be me, you know what I'm saying? All right? But you go out there and you try it, and, you know, you say, I'm working it, and in, you know, the easy situations, it's okay, but then that big thing comes up, and you pop right back to where you were, okay? Now, so our quest is to learn how to keep the challenging experiences in our lives from corrupting our journey towards living a faith-filled life. And this is what Paul was referring to in 1 Corinthians 15:53 when he said, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption." So this corruptible, he's talking about how we are, but he says we must learn how to become incorruptible. So the question is, how do we avoid being corrupted by the drama in our life? Well, here you are, working at being a spiritual and staying alert. The potential for drama arises out of a confrontation with someone or an event or some circumstance. Whatever it is that is seeking to draw you into the ego's drama, the first thing you want to realize is here is an opportunity to practice what I know spiritually. You get it? So the thing happens, and you kind of go, instead of going, "Oh, God, why is this happening?" You kind of go, "Oh, this is a chance for me to practice." Okay? See, it's a whole, you see the switch in consciousness from the reaction of fear to a more, from being reactionary to being responsible, to have a response instead of a reaction. Is that, you hear the difference? Okay? So you must stay awake enough to be able to say to yourself, this is not a moment for entertainment. Now, when I say entertainment, it sounds like it's something exciting, but the ego loves to entertain itself with fear and drama as well. All right? So this is not a moment for entertainment. You say, this is an opportunity to do something that is really spiritual. This is some spiritual work that now I have the opportunity. So it makes it exciting. It's always like, okay, I'm waiting for something ugly to happen so I can practice. All right? And you know, it ain't going to be long before something ugly comes up. And now you can practice. So it's a whole different mindset, okay? And then, you know, after you do it, check to see what psychological, emotional posturing your ego is getting ready to slip into. Now, were you ready to slip into human feeling, human thinking, or human doing? Now, that was one of the lessons we just did in the last week. Okay, so let me review for people who haven't heard that. Human doings, we believe that what we are capable of doing is limited to what we know and what we believe is possible for us. So as a human doing, you'll jump to do something, but at a point, you get to a point where you say, well, this is beyond what I can handle. But that causes us not to be able to embrace that with God, all things are possible, okay? So, and then as human thinkings, we are constantly busy entertaining a lot of thoughts, but few of them, if any, have any spiritual guidance to them. As is recorded in Luke 2:7, there is no room in the inn for the birth of the Christ child. So again, if you didn't hear that, I don't know if that was last week. No room in the inn for the birth of the child. What it says, there was no room for them in the inn. Them meaning Joseph and Mary, wisdom and love, who are going to give birth to the Christ child. So there's lots of people in the inn is our consciousness, our mind. There's a lot of thought people in our minds. Right, and then here come wisdom and love want to enter into our minds to bring about a whole new dynamic, and we're saying, "I'm sorry, there's no room for you here." Now there's more room for more knucklehead stuff to come in, right? But the idea is there was no room for the birth of the Christ child. So that's a human thinking, right? Now, the third mindset is human feelings. Now, in this state of mind, there's a lot of activity based on love, but the love expressed has a lot of control drama attached to it. There is consciously or unconsciously embedded in our thoughts, words, feelings, and actions the notion, "I will love you as long as," and then we have our conditions, okay? So there's a form of love, but it's deeply embedded in the ego's preconceived conditions of what is acceptable and what is not. Remember, God does not love us. God is love. And that which is cannot ever be anything other than that. There is no time in your life that God is not loving you, because God is not capable of doing anything that is not of love. That's a powerful thing to know. It's not a personal love. It is the love of the universe. Now, it becomes personal when the Holy Spirit touches you with it. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit, mind, idea, expression. I am conscious, I am expressed. So whenever you're feeling God's activity inside of you, that's the Holy Spirit that makes the personal contact with you and touches you with this universal expression. Did that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So the thing you always want to call on is the Holy Spirit. That's God's emissary that sends out and touches you with that you need from God. Okay. So those are the three that, you know, human feeling, human thinking, human doing. So once you determine where your ego has taken you to one of those three places, your work is to shift from either thinking, doing, or feeling into a state of just being. Okay, meaning no matter what the predicament or circumstance or person that's trying to disturb your peace, disturb your sense of Christ-centeredness, your work is to shift from feeling, thinking, doing into a state of being, as in be still so that I do not become corrupted. Okay, so the ways of practicing being we're getting into the science of it. The way of practicing being is through meditation, contemplation, revelation, redemption, and grace. Okay? Now, I'm going to take you through Deepak's steps for this state of being. The first practice of being is meditation, which is going into that deep inner space in between the vibrations where you and the universe are eavesdropping on each other. Now, that was my first talk in this series. So when you're talking about entering into meditation, you're entering into the stillness. The stillness is the space in between the vibrations. The vibrations are the activities of our lives. All the stuff that's going on in our minds, you know, our thinking, feeling, doing, all the things we're doing is creating this vibration. Well, the stillness or this meditation is entering into the space in between those vibrations where there is pure nothing but God. That at least makes sense, okay? So, and let me just share this with you too. A friend of ours just went for a medical checkup and went to a neurologist. The neurologist said to her that he just came from a conference for doctors where they were taught that meditation is one of the most effective ways of calming you down into a place of healing. And he said, but the meditation must be done throughout the day, in 5 to 10 minutes intervals. So yes, you start with your morning meditation. If you can find a time, mid-morning, another 5 minutes or so, another 5 minutes. You know, you find nothing. He said, "That's it." So this is medically, they're saying this works, but you need to do it throughout the day, because you know you do that one shot in the morning and you go out and get in a traffic jam and boom, that's gone. Okay, all right. Yeah, right, exactly. But isn't that powerful? Okay, so and, you know what it means is that you know you just find a quiet place somewhere to just you know become still and enter into that space. Think about it—the space in between the vibration. And that's you know going to, and this is where you can hear that space in between the vibrations, where you can hear the word of God within you, but at the same time you have a sense that God is also listening to you. It is a state of mind where you realize what Jesus meant when he said, do not be like them, meaning those who do not practice being, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask. That's Matthew 6:8. So how does God know? Because when you're being still in that space in between the vibrations caused by fear and frustration, you're in that space where you are in direct communion with God. You're in direct communication with Spirit. You are being present in that place where you can hear God and know God hears you. So at that point, you don't need to verbalize. You don't say, well, God, I need more money, or I need this, or I need that, or I need that. You know, because you're in that oneness. Does that make sense? You're in that oneness, right? And you're in that place where the universe is tapped right into all that's going on within you. And because you're in that space in between the vibration, because when you're in the vibration, you're agitating that thing, which is those things that are bothering you. Did you just get that? When you're in the vibration, you're agitating those things that are bothering you. But when you enter the space in between the vibration, you're no longer agitating those things. You are just being still. And when you're in that stillness, spirit can do spirit's work. All right? But when you're in the vibration and you're agitating it, spirit's doing work, but you're agitating it. Spirit's calming you down, you're agitating it. You're not getting the benefit. Is that making sense? Okay. So the next phase, so that was meditation. The next step in the practice of being is contemplation. This is a practice of asking the right questions. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. Well, the trick here is to learn how to steer our asking towards higher order requests that will benefit our soul and the soul of others. And again, a great example of this is the prayer of St. Francis that we prayed together last week. That prayer is designed to teach us how to make higher order requests, like, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. That's a higher order request. Does that make sense? Okay. So legitimately, your response might be, well, that all sounds lovely, but right now I need some cash. Or I need some healing or whatever is going on in my life, right? But what we each must come to realize is that every moment of our life, now listen carefully, every moment of our life, in every instant, in every relationship, in every circumstance, in every event, the moment is a reflection of where you are in consciousness. You can't fix that moment because that moment is a reflection of who you are in that moment. Are you getting that? Okay. Now, what you can do is by practicing the practice of being is learn how to ask the right questions and make the right requests of God so that your next moment will be different. But you can't change this moment because that's who you are right now. All right? But if you can get still and, you know, practice this idea of being, you can ask the right questions, and your next moment will be much better, okay? So the next level in the practice of being is revelation. This is where, through diligent practice of meditation and contemplation, we have quantum leaps of prophetic insight. Now, prophetic insight is you just get these visions of how to bring the good that you want into your life. It's a prophecy that comes through you, okay? And, you know, again, you know, going back to Charles Fillmore, Myrtle Fillmore, one of the founders, you know, she could hear the word and just completely absorb it, be it. Charles Fillmore was more almost a scientific mystic. He had to scientifically apply the word. So he said, I'm going to sit in this spot every day for an hour, same place, same time. And he did it for months and nothing happened. And all of a sudden, he began to realize that his dreams were prophetic. He was getting a prophecy in his dreams. Right? So it'll show up for different people in different ways. Okay, it depends on whether you are a natural mystic or a scientific mystic. And as I tell my students at the college, you are all mystics. You are. Now, your age, you might be going, I ain't no mystic. But when you tell an 18 or 19-year-old they're a mystic, they accept that fully. Right? So just think about that. But anyway, everyone sitting here or listening online has experienced a revelation at one time or another, okay? Probably most likely not knowing that you were experiencing, but we want to get to that state of mind where revelation is a natural part of the psychological, emotional experiences that we have, meaning revelation is what we naturally go to instead of ego drama. Instead of going to ego drama, you enter that space in between the vibration, and in that space, you receive revelation. Does that make sense? See, it's a thing you have to do. You get something, it's a work you have to do. Stuff happens, step back, and just be. Okay, let me give you an example. I have a RAID drive, four hard drive, RAID drive on my computer, and one of the drives went out. I just did what I've been doing before. I ordered another drive, stuck it in, and the computer wouldn't recognize it. So I call up the company, and she says, well, do this, I'm going to make it real short, and this, whatever it did, it erased everything on those four drives, all of my photography, everything. Okay? You know what my response was? She said, oh, I'm sorry. She said, yeah, I'm sorry. I said, don't worry about it. I didn't. I mean, my mind just totally let it go. All that photography had done was gone, but you know what? I still own a bunch of cameras. You get what I'm saying? I mean, not that I didn't let myself respond to it, I just didn't respond to it. That's what I'm talking about. You know, stuff happens in life. Instead of you having this thing where you go through all this drama in your head, you just let it be and move on to the next thing. Does that make sense? Okay. So, yeah, I know some of you are still going, oh, God. But no, I mean, seriously, no. I mean, I love doing photography, so it just means we're going to have to travel to all the same places all over the world again, huh? Right? And those are from all over the world, so that's, you know, that's fun to do that again, right? Sorry. So the next level, we evolved to in the practice of being. So we went through meditation, contemplation, revelation. Now we're going to look at redemption. Simply, this is where we experience the freedom that comes from the spiritual awakening we gain in revelation. And by freedom, we're referring to freedom from the ego's drama. And again, this is what Jesus was referring to when he says, you will know the truth, and truth will set you free. Okay? Free from the ego's drama. Now, the next level in this practice of being is the experience of grace. This is where we're all trying to get to. Okay? To explain grace a little bit is that, you know, you understand karma, you know, so what goes around comes around. But typically what you put out there that might be negative, when it comes back, if you're at the same level of negative thinking, you're going to receive that karma back. But if through your work you have raised yourself to another level, that karma, that negative activity is going to come back, but you will be unaffected by it. Okay? Now, you can't play this game of saying, oh, here it comes, let me jump up, right? Right? It's not no momentary thing. This is like you have evolved to that place where, you know, it no longer bothers you. So grace is God's gift to us, right? This is an outcome of the practice of meditation, contemplation, revelation, and redemption. This is when the doctors are amazed because they cannot explain your healing. You get it? This is when you get the incredible job in spite of the fact that there are more qualified people. This is where you are unaffected by all the turmoil and drama that surrounds you because you are in a perpetual state of grace. You know, in Psalm 91:7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall never come unto you because you are in a state of grace. Okay? Why? Because of your dedication to the spiritual practice of the science behind being. And the science behind this practice takes you far beyond just being entertained, far beyond getting caught up in the drama of your ego, because you have succeeded in attaining a state of grace, and there is no better place that you can be. We become mesmerized a lot of times by our ego drama. You know what I'm saying? Mesmerized by it. Can't wait to tell people about it. We want to get out of that space and just enter into that state of grace. Now, all of us are awake enough, all of us sitting here and listening on the internet are awake enough to know when we're doing that ridiculous stuff that we do when our ego jumps into drama. We all know it, don't we? No, here I go again. Okay? So the spiritual quest for every one of us sitting here and listening on the internet is to practice just being, which is attained by entering into that space in between the vibration created by the drama in our life. This is a practice that will lead us to realize that we create the drama in our lives and can, with a little work, create something wonderful and different. But we got to do the work, all right? And our work is to learn to live our life in conscious love. And this comes from Richard Rohr, R-O-H-R. I think he is a Catholic priest, is he? Franciscan monk. And this is what he said. April sent me this. And I'm going to end with this definition of conscious love. Conscious love is the very definition of our life's purpose and the true goal of our spiritual quest. When we are conscious, we will always do the loving thing, the connecting thing, the intimate thing, the communion thing, the aware thing. When we are in conscious love, we will always show up as our true spiritual selves. Amen.